thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
So, we're in the book of Psalms. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Psalm 34. And if you're able to stand, let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Psalm 34. Of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words. Thank you for this beautiful psalm, O God. As we continue to look upon your word, speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so today we're looking at Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is a special psalm. It's a special psalm for me because the year 34 is when my mother was born. So I always think about my mom when I read the psalm. Actually, my mom's 90, so she shares a lot about the war stories now. She grew up during the war in Korea. She was a teenager back then. But she was born during the Japanese occupation. So in Korea, and a lot of you may not know this, Korea was occupied by Japan in 1910. And then they were liberated in 1945. So in 1945, when they were liberated, to stabilize the country, Russia and the United States got involved. So they drew a line, the 38th parallel, and they divided the country in half. And they said, the U.S. said, we will work with the south of the 38th parallel. And Russia said, Soviet Union said at that time, we will work with the northern part of the country. And during that time, northern part of the country had more natural resources. So economically, they were stronger than the southern part of the 38th parallel. But obviously, because the Soviet Union was involved, they were introducing the communism, the ideology, socialist, all that, and in the South was influenced by the United States. And so here is a picture of the 38th parallel during that time. And back then, it was easier for either people from the South to go to the North, because the Koreans at that time thought it was one country. But around 1948 or so, the Northern side started to clamp down on things, and so it became harder and harder for the North Koreans to travel down to the South, even though it wasn't really North Koreans at that time. It was just occupied by the communist regime. But the people who were marginalized because of that, people who were educated, people who had some resources, were being marginalized by the ideology. So a lot of them left the North to come to the South. So between, I believe, 1945 and 1948, a third of the population of North Korea just moved down to the South, even though it made no sense. Economically, it made no sense. But because of the ideology and because of being marginalized, they moved. And so my mother was one of them. She was 14 at that time. She's one of eight. So her and her siblings, four of them, journeyed from north to south. At that time, you would hire a guide. So my aunt hired a guide. And whatever possession they had, the guy said, let me take care of that for you, and just took the money and ran. So then overnight, they lost all their money. And so my oldest aunt at that time just led blindly down to the South. And here's a picture of the DMZ. That's that yellow line separates North and South Korea. And as a matter of fact, here's a picture of the nighttime shot. And as you can see, the northern part, still today, this was taken a couple of years ago, there's no electricity. You know, they're so poor, there's no light. And you see all the light coming down from the south. So you can see that demarcation just based on the light. But my mom and my aunt and my uncle came down to the south. And as soon as they crossed over the 38th parallel, they didn't call them refugee camps at that time, but they were put in a makeshift refugee camp. And they said, you are now in South Korea. And she was processed. And she said she felt a sense of relief, even though she was in a refugee camp. She felt a sense of relief because she felt safe. She didn't know where she was going. But once she got into that refugee camp and she got food and she was treated, she felt safe. Even though economically it didn't make sense, they lost everything on their way, they felt safe once they got into that camp. And sometimes life is a lot like that. We live in a world that it's hard to even imagine how things are happening, but it's an evil world we live in. And we don't feel safe. A lot of times we don't know what to do. And today's psalm teaches us that we also need to take refuge. We need to take refuge in something. We need to go to a place where we do feel safe. And where is that? That's what we're going to be looking at today. So Psalm 34 is all about take refuge in God. Come to God's presence and feel safe. And a lot of times we forget that. I forget that. And I'm looking to take refuge somewhere else. And ultimately, you will not feel safe. It destroys us if we don't take refuge in God. Even though to the eyes of the world, it doesn't make sense. So let's look at our text today. But before we do that, the real question is, so why should we take refuge in God? So that's the question we're going to be looking at as we look through Psalm 34 today. Psalm 34 starts out with an introduction of sorts. And this is all part of Scripture, by the way, even though we don't have a verse number. This is all part of Scripture. So it says, of David. So this is a psalm that David wrote. And it says here, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. So for those of us who are familiar with the Old Testament, we would immediately know. Anybody immediately know where this comes from? Okay, 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15. Okay, so 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15, so this is before he is anointed king, he's fleeing from Saul, right? So this happened when David was running away from Saul because Saul was trying to kill David, right? And so he's seeking refuge in a place called Gath. It's the land of the Philistines. So he's thinking, all right, Saul is trying to kill me. I'm going to be safe amongst the Philistines. So let me take refuge there. And when he arrives there, King Achish is his name. His servants recognize David. Because why? David had a reputation of being a mighty warrior who slayed tens of thousands. So they saw David and said, here's David. So David, who wanted to not get caught, pretended to be insane by scratching doors, and he let his saliva run down the beard. You know, so he acted like a man who was insane. And so the king just looked at him and goes, there's no way this is David. And he lets him go. So that's the backstory of this psalm. That's what was happening when he wrote this psalm. Notice it says when he pretended, not after God rescued him. Okay. A lot of times when you read this, you think, okay, so he wrote this looking back. But it says here, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, he was singing this song. Okay, so that's the context, is his life was in danger and he acted like a crazy man. And this is the song that he sang. Just gives you a different context, doesn't it? So let's look. He starts by saying, I will extol the Lord at all times. Extol means to bless, right? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. So that's what he's thinking. Even though he's acting like an insane person to survive, he is praising the Lord at all times. His life was in danger. He was about to get caught. He was pointed out. And he is blessing God. When do you bless the Lord? Usually we bless the Lord when good things are happening. Right? Praise God. You know. I think last week was Super Bowl. Was it Super Bowl last Sunday? Yeah. Oh, that seems like a long time ago. After the Super Bowl, I think there were, I saw an interview, and they were asking one of the players, like, oh, how was it? Congratulations on winning. And the first thing this person said was, well, before anything, I want to acknowledge my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, so I was like, yes, you know, good for that. But, you know, most people who win always want to acknowledge God, right? I think I said this before, but, you know, when you're interviewing a losing team, I don't think they say, well, first of all, I want to bless God. I want to thank the Lord Jesus for allowing me to lose today in front of millions of people, right? Here he is. His life is in danger. He knows he's going to be king, and King Saul is trying to kill him. He's running away. He's taking refuge amongst the Philistines, of all places. And yet, he says, I will extol the Lord at all times. He is choosing. He is choosing to bless God at all times. This is a choice that he's making. So when life is difficult, we have to make a choice, amen, to bless God. It's a choice that we make, that we get to make. But we can't make that choice unless we're always thinking about God. If we're not thinking about God, we're not going to say, I'm going to bless God when things aren't going right. And as I've experienced life, I'm realizing more and more that things don't go my way. The days that things don't go my way outnumbers the days that things go my way. And we live in a broken world, so I shouldn't be surprised about that. But when it's not happening, am I still able to bless God? Can I choose God? Can you choose God? And David is saying this is how, what he did, and he's encouraging the people to bless God. Right? So even today, you may be having a rotten day today. Choose God. Choose to bless God. Amen? May his praise always be on your lips. That means you're always, that doesn't mean you're praising God forever and ever, right? It's not like you're singing a song over and over and put it on repeat, but your relationship with God is in a place and you're always thinking about God and worshiping him so that you're always praising him. So it's not a put a praise song on repeat and play that over and over again. It's we're always praising God. Like it's what comes out of our lips. That's so important. What comes out of our lips, because it reveals our heart. And so when you're praising God all the time, it's revealing what's in your heart, and your heart is just filled with praise. This is not something that we're manufacturing. It comes from our heart. I will glory in the Lord. I will magnify the Lord, some other translation says. I will magnify the Lord and let the afflicted, let the oppressed hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So he is calling upon the people to worship God together. Worship is not something that we do alone, but we do it as a body, as a community. We're going through the book of Ephesians on Wednesday nights. We'll eventually get there. We're still on verse 7 or 8 of chapter 1. But eventually we'll get to the part where we're a body. We're a body, and we're going to worship God together. And that's why we're all gathered here. We weathered the storm. Why? To worship God with one another. Amen? Amen? I was so happy to see you guys, you know, because I thought it would be family worship. So happy to see you guys. And last Sunday, too, I was just, you know, it just didn't feel right. Just skipping a Sunday just didn't feel right. And when I saw the forecast, I'm like, Lord, no, no. And so I said, no matter what it takes, as long as we don't get tickets outside, let's meet. And so here we are as a body. Amen? And then he gives a testimony. So first, he is calling upon, he is praising God, blessing God, and he's calling people to join him in praising God. And then he gives a testimony. He says, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. What does it mean to seek God? It means that you are consumed by him. Your thoughts, your hearts, everything that you're thinking about is about God. That's what it means to seek God. I left my phone here yesterday, and I was seeking my phone. And I was looking for it. I was going nuts trying to figure out, where is my phone? You know, And I wasn't just half thinking, well, I'll look for it later. You know, I used all my resources and then finally used the Find My, and it says, oh, there it is. Let me go back and get it, right? But when you look for, when you're looking for something, you're consumed by it, right? If you lose something, aren't you like consumed by, I need to find this, right? And that's the attitude we need to have when we're seeking God. It's not, I'll look for him, but a little later. Let me take care of something else first. Let me look for my phone first before I seek God. No, when you're looking for God, you are giving everything that you have. Your thoughts, your heart, everything is about finding God. So I sought the Lord. That's what David means. I sought the Lord. I used everything to find him. And then look what God does. It says, he answered me. Isn't that beautiful? He answered me. Isn't that what we want to hear from God, right? Don't you want God to answer you? Here he is. He's giving a testimony. I sought the Lord. He answered. Not only did God answer me, he delivered me. Right? So God answers and God delivers. And what did David have to do? All David had to do was seek God. So his testimony, it's true to us as well. A lot of times we're trying to figure things out. Right? We're trying to save ourselves. But scripture teaches us that you can't save yourself. God is the one who answers. God is the one who delivers. And what do? We seek God. That's what we do. And he delivered me what? From his troubles, does it say? He delivered me from the Philistines? No. He delivered me from all my fears. Everything that crippled me, he delivered me from. The fears. Fears is what holds us back. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to do this. What's holding you back? It's fear. Fear is the opposite of faith, right? So he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man, he's calling himself, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. You ever wonder if God hears you? Yes, God hears you. Not only does he hear you, he saved him out of all his troubles. So he delivered me from all my fears. He answered me. He heard him and he saved him out of all his troubles. Once again, who does the saving? The Lord. And he hears. He hears us. He hears your prayers. Even if you don't have time to pray a long prayer, when you're suffering, when you're groaning, scripture, and if you read through Exodus, right? He heard the groaning of the people. When you're suffering and when you're crying out, he hears you. And he will save you. It continues, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And he delivers them. Notice how many times David is mentioning the word delivering, hearing, answering. God delivers. God saves. God helps. That's who our God is. And what is our role? Our role is to seek him. Our role is to cry out to him. Trust in him. That's where that comes from, is trusting in God. So do you trust him in all circumstances? Do you trust God? And he encourages here. We're going to look at verse 8. In verse 8, he encourages the people to really trust God with everything. Don't trust in anything else. trust in the Lord. You trust by tasting. He says here, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Blessed is the one who seeks him for safety, for comfort, for protection. But he says here to taste and see. To try it. To taste it. Taste. Have you tasted how good God is? What does it mean to taste? It means you have to try it, right? You have to try it. So when my son was, he was our firstborn, so we try to be like the perfect parent when it comes to raising him, even his diet. So till age 3, I don't even think he had candy. Right? So we only gave him fruit. You know, Susan and I were trying to be that perfect parent. So we only gave him fruit. That's all he knew for dessert. So we went out to a restaurant with, it was a family gathering, and we're all eating ice cream for dessert. And he looked at that thing and goes, I'm not eating that, you know? And I was like, it's ice cream. But he's never had ice cream. For him, dessert is fruit. You know, he only likes fruit, and he still does. And so we're like, and so Susan's uncle was saying, Colin, just try it. He goes, no, I'm not going to try it. You know, it looks disgusting. But so he's sitting there. He's 3, and he was a wild kid. But, you know, as ice cream is melting, it's kind of fun to play with. So he started playing with it, right? And as he was playing, accidentally some landed on his lips. And then he tasted, and then that was the end, right? That was like no more fruit for dessert. No, I mean, but you know, so then he ate it. We couldn't get him to taste it though. You know, just try it. No, try it. No. And then once he tasted it, it was like, oh, and then he finished it, you know, and then he knew that ice cream is good, right? That's what David is saying here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So if everything that you know about God is up here, then you haven't really tasted. You haven't really tasted. And tasting is trusting. So trust God in all circumstances. Don't try to save yourself. Take refuge in him. That's what David is saying. You need to experience God. Jonathan Edwards said this. You know, he uses the illustration of honey, you know, just like the ice cream illustration. And this is what he says. There is a difference between having an opinion that God is holy and gracious and having a sense of the loveliness and beauty of that holiness and grace. There is a difference between having a rational judgment that honey is sweet and having a sense of his sweetness. What is he saying? Once you've tasted honey, you know honey is sweet. Right? Somebody doesn't need to convince you honey is sweet. But if you've never tasted honey, and all you know about honey is what you read in the books, like, oh, they say honey is sweet, then you don't really know. That's the same thing with God. Same thing about his love and his grace, his faithfulness, who he is. Do you really know God? Have you tasted? Have you seen? Have you experienced his love? Or is everything about God just a story up here? Then you don't really know him. Taste and see. And like I said, the only way we could taste is by trusting in him. Don't follow the way of the world. Trust in God. Know that his timing is perfect. God doesn't promise that your life will be trouble-free. You know, that's the mistake sometimes we make. We think, oh, I'm going to trust in God, and he's going to just get rid of all my problems. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, you trust in me, and none of your problems may go away, but I got you. And that's all that matters, right? That's all that matters. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Then he says, fear the Lord. So after a Thanksgiving portion, now it's like a teaching portion. It almost sounds like Proverbs now, this psalm. Fear the Lord. And this fear is not be afraid of the Lord, but it means to revere God. Know that he is awesome and holy and perfect, and I'm not. When you recognize that in his presence, you fear him. That's what that means. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people. Fear the Lord, all you saints. Fear the Lord, the church. Fear the Lord, us. For those who fear him lack nothing. I just love that. Those who fear God, those who show reverence to God, those who worship God, those who realize that God is everything and we're nothing. We lack nothing. We lack nothing. You have everything you need. That's an amazing statement. Do you believe this, church? Do you fear God? We lack nothing. Doesn't matter if we don't have this building. I lack nothing. It doesn't matter if we don't have the big screen TVs. Oh, whoops, sorry, we do have it. But we lack nothing. Even if God takes all this away, you lack nothing. Because it's not about material possession. Blessing is not about material blessings. You know, sometimes we think that. Why are all these things being taken away from me? Sometimes even friendships end. You know, someone who you thought is your best friend, overnight, they no longer talk to you. Like, why? But that's not the end of the world. Because God said, I will never forsake you. Right. So for those of us who are devastated, and of course it hurts, but if you're devastated because something that's so precious here on earth is taken away from you, and you can't function anymore because of that, that means that relationship that you need to have with God, you replace that with this thing that was taken away from you. So focus on God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Trust in God. May he be your number one priority. May you seek him with all your heart. And then trust in him. And then you're going to know, you're going to taste, and you're going to see that the Lord is good. And you're going to know that you lack nothing. Even if everything here on earth is taken away from you, you lack nothing because you have God with you. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And even as a church, you know, like I said, this building could go away, but we lack nothing. Continues, the lions may grow weak and hungry. Some translation will say the young lions. The young lions are those who think they can conquer the world, you know. But they grow weak and hungry. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So seek him. He continues, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So this is David, right, talking. When he says, O children, that's like a teacher, someone who's wise, sharing knowledge. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. What you say matters. Words can destroy and kill. The words, and I said this earlier too, your words reveal what's in your heart. So keep your tongue from evil. It's not just zip it, but you need to start looking at your heart, right? Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So he says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. If you want to live a good life, here's what you need. You need to keep your tongue from evil. You need to keep and your lips from speaking deceit. Speak the truth. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace. That doesn't mean just the peace as we know it, but seek wholeness. Seek wholeness, shalom. So yes, relationship is part of that. So seek peace among your community, among your people. Seek peace with God. Pursue it, he says. And then he reminds us, and I love this, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Did you notice the whole time David was talking about you cry and God hears, you call and God listens, right? And now he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He is watching. He is attentive. He is paying attention. You know, sometimes we feel like God is not there, but that's just what we feel. That's not truth. His eyes are on you. He's paying attention. His ears are attentive. He hears you. He responds to you. He hears your cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. Once again, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. I think what David wants you to know is God hears. I mean, how many times have you seen that word hears today, right? God hears. God delivers. There's that word again. He delivers them from all their troubles. This song's repeating these same words over and over again. I think he wants us to pay attention. And of course, there's a famous verse, right? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And once again, he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them, delivers him from them all. So, the Lord is not removing the troubles from you, but he delivers you from the troubles. So, your troubles aren't going to go away, but he'll deliver you from them if you trust in him. My problem is, I say I trust him, but I'm trying to figure out a way to get rid of all my problems on my own. Without his help, you know, because I don't know. By not trusting him that way, what are you saying? I'm smarter than you, God. I'll do it my way. No, don't do it your way. Do it his way, you know. It's not I'll do it my way. It's I'll do it his way. And he protects, right? It says here, he protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Right? David said this, but this was also a prophecy of Jesus Christ, because in John, this verse is quoted, right? When Jesus dies on the cross, that not one of his bones were broken. I love this. Evil will slay the wicked. They self-destruct. Evil will slay the wicked. They'll take care of themselves. Don't worry about them. Right? The foes of the righteous will be condemned. And then the psalm ends with, the Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Condemned from whom? Condemned from God. Right? No one who takes refuge in him. How do we take refuge in God? Well, Jesus made a way. Jesus faced the wrath of God when he died on the cross. And all who believe in Jesus can take refuge in him, and you will not be condemned. Amen? That's the good news. That's the good news. You can't save yourself. Did you get that? Psalm 34? You can't save yourself. Take refuge in him. Trust in him. Know that he is good. Know that you lack nothing with him. Amen? Amen. Take refuge in him. When you're with him, you are safe. The sanctuary, you're in his sanctuary. Welcome home when you come into his presence. And that's what my mother felt when she walked into the refugee camp. You know, I have pictures of the refugee camp, not of hers, but it's no hotel, you know. It's really a dump, but she felt so safe, so secure. When you enter into God's presence, if you trust in him, you'll feel that same safety, knowing that he saves, that he delivers, that he protects. He will rescue you. So let's come to him. So why should we take refuge in the Lord? To sum up Psalm 34, because he delivers, he provides, and he protects those who seek him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you save, you deliver, you help, you hear, you answer. And you've taught us today that our role is to seek you. I pray that you'll give us the strength and the courage to seek you and you alone. Father, help us to taste, help us to see your goodness, oh God. And as we taste and as we see your goodness, may we, as David shared his testimony, may our testimony be that we know your goodness, oh God. May we sing your goodness to the ends of the earth. Thank you. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.